telling myself that this is how change happens. Hadn't I existed in this setting, they would not think about the North African country to expand to. But now, not only they're considering it, but they're understanding my perspective, getting my perspective of it, and they're open to tell me about it and ask me about it. So I think there's nothing that bridges that gap more than this example.
Hello and welcome everyone to this new episode of My Generation with Ines podcast. And today we are diving into a different topic that we haven't dealt with before. And I'm very happy to have with me Elie Ben Abdallah. She is a Tunisian student studying right now in Rwanda, and she will tell us where and how and why Rwanda and why that destination. And actually, we're talking about alternative education. So what's the point? Tunisians, for example, North Africans, Africans, or any student around the world, when they think about higher education, they usually think about the best universities are in the US or in Canada or in Europe. A lot of them also in Asia, which is true. We're not saying that it's not true, but there are some people that go into a different path to pursue their education, and they are really enjoying it. And we have here a live example. Hello, Elie, how are you?
Hello, I'm feeling fantastic today. I don't know if it's just about this podcast because it's exciting or no, but I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
So welcome to the show. I'm very happy actually to have with me like people from my generation, literally, because in the podcast, I try to connect also experts, but I'm also happy to have young people showing up. So where are we going to start? When I told her, okay, let's try to keep it to 30 minutes, she was like, I'm not sure we can do that. But so you are right now studying in Rwanda. Can you tell us at least what you're studying right now, and since when? What is the discipline, the university? And then we can go further into why Rwanda. Yeah, just now give us a heads up on what you...
All right. My name is Elie Ben Abdallah. I'm a student at the African Leadership University here in Kigali, Rwanda. I'm studying in my third year of international business and trade. We don't have minors here. We only have majors, and not specifically majors, but the university mainly focuses on missions, and that's what the Global Challenges major is about. So students choose missions instead of majors, and they focus on global challenges. And that's actually what makes the university different in terms of the curriculum and the values it focuses on. Yep.
Awesome. All right. So I want to go back a bit into how it all started. So you, after getting your BAC degree, which is in Tunisia, it's like the main degree after high school, let's say, you studied in literature university, if I'm not mistaken.
Not exactly. I was in the higher school of technologies of health. I guess that's how we would translate it to English. Human nutrition and dietary science.
And you studied there for how many years?
1 year only.
And then what happened?
And then actually in that year, I got introduced to the civic society, let's say, getting engaged in clubs and being active. And that was actually in my last year of baccalaureate year in high school. And like I started being active in the American Corner, going to the debate club and trying to get better at English and even public speaking, and volunteering with the Red Crescent, and a lot of things that got me introduced to a lot of people. And at the same time, I was not really fulfilled with the type of education I was receiving in nutrition. Yes, I didn't have like the highest average in the BAC exam as I wanted, but still I was content with nutrition, but it was not fulfilling. I was telling myself, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life.
How did you know that it's not fulfilling?
Because it was mostly lectures using slides that, I kid you not, dated to at least 10 or 15 years ago. And I feel like the content is not really convincing me. So I was like, I'm not going to be sitting here for 3 years being lectured and not getting engaged with the content as I always thought college would be. Especially if that's the time when you're getting prepared to work, to get into work after. So that was a no-go for me. And using that network that I was telling you about, I learned about the Thomas Jefferson Scholarship Program. It's an exchange program in the United States. You go there for 2 semesters. You study for a non-degree certificate, let's say. And yeah, so I learned about this. I applied. I went through the first round of selection, went through the interviews, and I made it. And I was so happy to try something new, different, but I was also scared because I'm traveling alone for like in years and going to a country where no one of my family went to, the States, and going to Texas in Trump's era.
Yes, I was going
So
to say where the Republicans are.
yes. So I went there and it was amazing. I chose to study psychology, and I think I made the best choice of choosing that field because it made me understand my perspective towards the world better, to understanding myself and human beings in general, how we interact, how we learn. And yeah, that gave me a lot of courage to try something different. And I'm not sure if you know about the Holt Prize or no, but
Yes.
I brought that competition to the campus in East Texas, and no one did it before. And I was so hopeful to try so many new things. I had this exciting urge to, this is my time, I will own it. And the debate clubs that I started in Tunisia, I went to the US and participated with the university's debate club. And I, at some point, was having this insecurity moment of not speaking perfect English and they're native speakers there. And I think that insecurity was completely shattered in my first out-of-state tournament with the debate club. I won half of my debates for the first time ever against native speakers. And I was like, I'm actually not that bad. So next time you tell yourself, LA, that you're not good enough in English and you prevent yourself from participating in anything useful that you wanted to say because of your language, you should remember this time when you won these debates.
All right, so let me get this a bit of sum up. So you studied nutrition in Tunisia for 1 year, and then you went to Thomas Jefferson, which is an exchange program, and you studied in Texas psychology. Why you chose a different field completely? You told me that you explained why psychology, but why to change? I mean, most of the people usually, for example, if they studied nutrition in Tunisia, they would go in Thomas Jefferson and study the same thing.
To me, since I was not really content with nutrition, I didn't want to go and study nutrition again. If I'm going through a different experience, I'm going to try something that would help me understand what I really want. That's why psychology.
Yes, awesome. And so you went to the US, so you had that 1 year in Texas, and then came back to Tunisia. And how was first the comeback to the Nutrition Institute? I'm not sure. And how was the shift again to Rwanda? Tell us more.
When I was going back from the States, I was so sad that I'm going back to study nutrition, to that routine. And in the same summer, I was applying to different universities all around the world: Italy, Ireland, London, Singapore, Rwanda, and even the States again. And the only acceptance I got was from Rwanda. And it was at the African Leadership University. There was the scholarship, the Mandela Centennial Scholarship. Mm-hmm. It was offered in collaboration by the Trust Institute and Graça Machel, Nelson Mandela's wife. So I got the scholarship. I was so, so, so excited to go, even though it's a path so different from what an average Tunisian would think of college. And that's how I got into Rwanda.
Awesome. So now I want you to tell me all about Rwanda, because, you know, when I was preparing for the episode, I went to the old files and to my visit to Rwanda in 2017, and I checked like all the photos again. It was like very heartwarming. And I remember when I went there, I fell in love with Rwanda. Like, I became an ambassador for that country. Really amazed when I went to Kigali, how the development of Rwanda evolved through the years. And that was very impressive for me, but I have no idea about the educations there. So you tell us, how was it? How was your impression when you got to, when you got selected? You were like, I'm going to Rwanda. How was like the first thoughts that you had? Expectations versus reality.
I don't know how to describe that moment. It was really, really shocking, because never in my life I thought I would go for studies in Rwanda or any country in sub-Saharan Africa. We don't think about that as Tunisians. And even for the average African, if we think about education, we think Europe or US. We never think about the rest of the continent. So I just had to trust my gut at that moment. Something inside was telling me, yes, you need to go. And I knew about the university like 2 years or 3 years before, when I was applying to the African Leadership Academy. So that's how I knew about the university. So I really wanted to come because it's centered on Africa and understanding the continent. And that's something we don't get exposed to in Tunisia most of the time. So that's how I got here and started exploring the country. It was different. I didn't have any expectations. I just wanted to live the experience as it is. And that was the best decision I've ever made. Trust me.
So tell me more about the environment that you found yourself into, how your identity evolved, because like you said, for North Africans and Africans overall, we do not consider our continent in many different things. And we do not even have the right information about it. So we, in our history books, we don't study, for example, in Tunisia, we did not study about African civilizations. I mean, we did study a bit, the main ones that say, like, I remember we studied about the pharaohs, we studied about North Africa, Maghreb, you know, in Morocco, Dawla al-Muwahhidiyya, stuff like that. But we did not really study about the sub-Saharan African civilizations. We did not really study about the history of Africa, slavery. So, and that shapes our identity, whether we like it or not. Then we grow up, and then it depends on the experiences that we have. So I know for me, at least, my identity got shaped a lot when I worked in Africa. It was reshaped, I would say. How was it for you, Ele, when she first joined, and Ele now, what evolved in the identity?
Wow, a lot of things changed, a lot, trust me. As you said, the only thing that we were taught in middle school or high school, what connects us to the rest of the continent is that we are third world countries. That's the only thing that connects us. But in reality, we lack exposure to our continent in everything we do. We don't know, we don't think about sub-Saharan Africa. If we're thinking about Africa, it's the Maghreb, as you said. And The reality is we have more things in common than we think. We have history of colonization that connects us. We have values. We have the same developmental ambitions as countries and agendas. We have the same ambitions to decolonize our education, our minds, our lifestyles. And this, I discovered it through the conversations that I had with my friends here, the many friends that I made here, is that we actually have a lot in common and no one told us about this. And you can only really, truly feel it when you come here and experience it. When you get to interact with an East African, with a Central African, with West African, South African, things you learn by living with the rest of people from the rest of the continent that even if you read about them in history books or economics books, you will never understand. These are unspoken rules, unspoken things that you can only understand through experience. And this is actually a big misconception even about education in general. Education is more than just schooling or a degree. It's about the life skills that you learn, the people that you meet in college, especially in a university like the African Leadership University that has 42 nationalities from the continent, I would say. That was so life-changing to me and the way I see Africa and even my dreams and ambitions in the curriculum professionally and academically. You talked about identity shifts as well. From an African perspective, I see that reflected on our curriculum here so much. I'll give you an example. In economics classes, if we're studying about trade, we're not given a definition of trade. We are doing an experiment in class, exchanging small shapes between groups and doing that trade example to understand when do we need to trade and when we shouldn't trade and why is it important. And that's how you come up with your own definition of trade. So these types of experiments and these types of education that I see in the curriculum make me rethink the existing systems, the existing definitions in economics from an African perspective. And through these different experiences that I had here, I can tell you about that identity shift that happened, truly.
Great. You mentioned about the different skills that education provide. Like it's about the different skills that you have through the experiences. And I remember when we met back in Tunis, I think last gen, you told me a bit about the curriculum, that it's a bit different that you're studying in your university. We're not doing any sponsorship for the university, but we're giving some perspective on what education in a country like Rwanda looks like. So tell us more, because I found what you told me back when we met very interesting. So tell us more about the curriculum, the kind of skills you're learning.
For the first year, what we call it the leadership core here. You learn leadership skills that now in my third year, I feel like I apply in every day of my life and every internship that I did. We study four courses throughout the entire year, projects, data and decision, communicating for impact and entrepreneurial leadership. And each of these classes make you reflect on your life as a student, as a potential business person, as an entrepreneur, in a different way. In decision, we learn guesstimation. And you see now for any job interview you do for Google or Facebook or stuff like that, they ask about that situational interview that includes guesstimation. So these are skills that are actually applied in the first 21st century and reflect what the job market is asking from you. We learn in entrepreneurial leadership about Stephen Covey's seven daily habits of successful people. And we do those types of readings in year one to really dive into your core values and understand what will guide you on your mission. So classes like these really change your mind totally on how you think university should look like, or what we always say, the copied models from the US or the Europe that we have, at least in my first year, as I told you, nutrition, I was not content with that. And here I didn't see that. I saw something different. We have two breaks in the year where we do African studies, what we call seminar readings. We dive into the past by from readings and readings written by African scholars, and we understand what our the previous civilizations in Africa had, and what kind of social unity they had, and what how they lived, so that we can form our present and our future. So these are innovative things that I didn't see in back in my university in Tunisia, but here I saw it in a completely different way that inspired me to encourage me to stay and to even think about education differently in general.
So I want to know one of those insights that you mentioned. Like, what were the insights or the readings or the authors that you came across that gave you a real aha moment and you were like, oh, I wish if young people back at home knew this?
Oof. On top of my mind right now, it's really, really hard to tell. I think I remember an aha moment for me is really understanding identity from an African perspective, and how is it formed, whether through the concept of Ubuntu, I am because we are, or whether what I was taught in high school, I am because I think from friends and from the Western scholars. It was always that clash between who we are as Africans, and has colonization really, really changed that, or we still have that engraved in our roots? Those are, I think, are one of the most memorable aha moments I had.
If you would, for example, advise the listeners to listen to something or read a certain book that really you think would challenge the concept of their identity and make them question more their African one, what would that be?
I think that would be Walter Rodney, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. I think that's a historic book, even though it's written by European, ironically, but it's a very controversial book. We have a lot of readings from that in our economics classes, but it still brings an important insight to you as an African to understand how it happened. There's also Confessions of an Economic Hitman. This book is really, really amazing. It also explains how post-colonization, the role that the US played to build its corporations around the world, and using Africa still. So it's as if we're still living in colonized Africa. From African scholars, I have to get back to you on that. I have a list actually of from the seminar readings, the books, I still have them. I can send them to you if the listeners request them as well.
Yeah, we can add them to the description. So now you have you had this experience of being a student abroad in different countries. And the good thing is that you had actually an experience in the US, in the Western world, I would say, with the typical destination for your education. And now in Rwanda, so when you finish your education, what's do you think about, I don't know, like having an initiative to bridge the gap between the different parts of the African continent? What are the discussions that you actually, not necessarily something you plan, but what are the discussions that you guys have in your university with your fellow scholars to minimize this gap, to make identity debates and conversations more? How can we get one step closer into, I wouldn't say a set in stone identity for what an African young person is, but at least to listen and hear our perspectives?
All right. I think that representation is very important and plays a big role in bridging that gap that you're talking about. Let's say in my case, I'm the only Tunisian in the university, and the university has like 1,000 plus students. So do you feel the burden that I have to bridge that gap and play towards that goal of bringing North Africans to the rest of the continent? But I also don't want to burden myself that much. Sometimes I feel it's too much, because really, you thinking that you're the first Tunisian that this person, your fellow African, will meet, for now at least. So what different perspective you want to bring to them about Tunisia that you always dreamed for the rest of the continent to think of you? No matter what the media says, no matter what existed before, what is that vision that you wanted to bring? It's on you. It's really on you. And you have to set the example to break those stereotypes about North Africans that divide the North Africa from the rest of the continent. And it's in small actions, and really having more North Africans represented in 100 plus university, number of students in a university, is important to bring those perspectives. Just me being in class, for example, and having these, having assignments, let's say in international business, and having assignment telling you that you will have to choose an African country to where you should expand, and other students from other regions in Africa come to you and say, hey, actually, I want this business to expand in Tunisia. Tell me more about the Tunisian market. First of all, I was so happy because they considered a North African country to expand to. And I was telling myself that this is how change happens. Hadn't I existed in this setting, they would not think about the North African country to expand to. But now, not only they're considering it, but they're understanding my perspective, getting my perspective of it, and they're open to tell me about it and ask me about it. So I think there's nothing that bridges that gap more than this example.
Yeah, I really like it. And I think that the representation, like you said, lacks a lot, I would say. And also sometimes myself, I question, how are we representing our country? For example, as Tunisians, or for every person that is from any country listening to us, like, it's always a question for me, how well or how loyal you are representing, especially because sometimes you go to certain seminars or conferences, and then they will be like, oh, you know, like, you're the first Tunisian I meet in my life. So whatever you do, that will stick to that, and will give the first impression, which really matter. But yeah, I think, like you said, what it takes is just to people just go, integrate, be present in initiatives. And also, I would say, like, take the follow-up on initiatives, because people meet in workshops, in seminars, but then they lose the connections. So nurturing your connections and to keep open perspectives and opportunities for the future and devoters, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I cannot think of any other opportunity that would give me the assets that I have right now by being a student here in the African Leadership University. I have friends from all over the continent, and I have friends who tell me, whenever you come to Kenya, let's say, I'm going to be your tour guide. Whenever you want a consultancy advice, I'm going to be here in Rwanda. I'm going to be connecting you to this and this and this. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing how it works out, just by knowing and building that network.
Yeah. So Elie, what would be, like, the big questions that you still have in mind, or something that is, you know, like it's a burning fire, whether when it comes to education, how people perceive Africa overall, especially like this North African, Sub-Saharan African relationship. What is like things that keeps you at night, maybe?
How can we do more? And who are the people who should get involved to make this happen fast? These are questions that always, always keep me thinking about Africa in general and Britain, that gap that we don't usually talk openly about it, even though it exists. It really exists.
Yeah. So, Ali, very last question is, I always ask for all my guests, I tell them, what is the one thing that you want to challenge people's perspective about?
How would you keep up with transitions? For instance, I myself right now, I have a semester left in my college and I'm asking myself, what's next? Am I leaving ALU, this place that built me up in many ways? How am I going to do it? And at the same time, transitions, especially when you study abroad or try different countries, come with cultural shocks and reverse cultural shocks and anxiety. And again, people do not talk about it openly. It requires a lot of mental resilience going from place to another. So how would you keep up with that transition and with all that comes with it? And going through transition and trusting in the future, because we can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backward, trying to understand how things happened and how one thing led to another. And it's really hard to go into the future not knowing what dots are you should you be connecting. So I think that would be my challenge to the audience.
You seem a very good fan of Steve Jobs. So yeah, that's a perspective you put on the table. Maybe your gut can be your guide, like it was for Rhonda. I really had the pleasure to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much. It's a topic that is dear to my heart, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Hey you, very glad you finished this episode. If you are interested in more, you can check the previous episodes from this podcast. We'd appreciate a lot if you go on Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave a review for me to improve and voice what you really think of. Thank you very much and have a blessed day.